Hi, this is Scott Unash. Thanks for listening to the Gym Class Podcast on KGYM.
You put on that jacket you haven't worn in like 6 months. Reach into the pocket and find a McCafe brewed coffee. Well, not really, but there is a crumpled old dollar in there. And on McDonald's 1-2-3 dollar menu, that's the price of any size McCafe brewed coffee or a savory sausage biscuit. Oh, and check the other pocket too. Could be a tasty sausage McMuffin in there. Find more $1 breakfast favorites on the 1-2-3 dollar menu at McDonald's. Prices and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Tax extra.
3:03 here on a Tuesday edition of the Gym Class here on KGYM. Plenty to discuss as we will be talking with Mark Morehouse of the Cedar Rapids Gazette, talking Iowa football as Kirk Ferentz met the media today. Also coming up on the program today, Mike Petrillo will join us to talk some Major League Baseball as we also honor the life of an Iowa State athlete today who was taken away from us much, much too early as we get into the Gym Class here for a Tuesday on KGYM. Scott Unash, Mark Dukes, Kyle Mann just arriving back from Iowa City. We are presented by Third Base Brewery, located at the corner of Blair's Ferry Road and C Avenue Northeast in Cedar Rapids. And big thanks to those folks for helping us out. Stop on by, locally owned and operated, right at the corner of Blair's Ferry Road and C Avenue Northeast in Cedar Rapids. Golf news coming out of the PGA today, and we'll get to that coming up in a little bit. But, again, we mourn in the state of Iowa, and we mourn not only another victim of a senseless crime, but also someone who had a chance, I think, to be a bright and shining star. Not to take away from anyone else, Mark. That's not my point here. Of the statement, but of course, by now most people know about the tragic events happening in Ames today. Celia Barkeen Arozmeta, who was a member of the Iowa State women's golf team last year, not only a member, but also the 2018 Big 12 women's golf champion, the Iowa State female athlete of the year, who came to Iowa State from Spain, qualified for the United States Women's Open, played in the U.S. Women's Amateur, I believe, as well, was on a tremendous, tremendous arc as far as her career was concerned, murdered in broad daylight in Ames by a person that probably, there's no probably to it, should not be roaming about freely. And it's just a sickening, sad, sad story today. I wish I had better news to kick off the show today.
Well, it's important, and I think a lot of folks would join us in sending sympathy towards her family and the Iowa State community. Just take away the fact she's an excellent golfer. The act itself is horrific. The perpetrator was a known drifter in the area and apparently murdered this young woman on the grounds of the Coldwater Golf Links. And he is in jail on $5 million bond. How anybody gets a bond in that situation, I have no idea, but that's a subject for another day. But it's a horrible story, and it's sports-related only because she's been a terrific golfer. But from humanity's standpoint, it's terrible.
Yeah, first Molly Tebbets, and then obviously this young lady over in Ames. And I know Jamie Pollard right now is trying to get through his news conference over in Ames and having a tough time doing so. Matt Campbell started off the football news conference today talking about what the football team is going to do. Apparently there is a push to wear yellow if you're headed to the Iowa State game against Akron on Saturday, because that was Celia's favorite color. So if you are going over there, that is the plan anyway. And it's just, you know, when you got people like the LPGA Tour through, you know, Tommy Fleetwood, through Sergio Garcia,
Zach Johnson,
all tweeting out today their thoughts. That's just that's the sports world, that's the golf world, if you will, and how Sergio Garcia said that he met her and that just a wonderful young lady she was, and definitely will be missed out there. So, like you said, our thoughts and prayers with the Iowa State golf family, her family, everybody associated with the terrible tragedy that happened in Ames over the last 24 hours or so. Like I said, wish we had better news and better way to start off the program today. But man, oh man, when will all this end? That's, I guess, the big question out there. Mm. Mike Petrillo of MLB.com is going to be joining us coming up in just a little bit. Mark Morehouse is going to be joining us as well. Mark, just fresh from the Iowa News Conference, Kirk Ferentz's news conference today that, of course, tied in with the ANF. This year's honoree as far as the ANF is going to be Aaron Campman. And Aaron had a very eloquent speech today at the news conference and outlined what it meant to him, talked about his grandfather, who's going to be at the game, who's 92.
Mm.
That's terrific. And so a very worthy recipient of the yearly ANF award going out from the Iowa football team.
Great Green Bay Packer as well. Made the most of his career at Iowa. There's no question about it. And then terrific honoree, I believe.
Yeah. So Aaron Campman will have that coming up. And man, oh man, that's I guess that's one of the positive coming out of today, as Aaron Campman will be there to get that ANF award from the Iowa football team coming up on Saturday at Kinnick Stadium, actually Saturday night. 319-366-1600, by the way. That's the way you can connect with us via the Hertina Stocker Jewelers text line, Hertina Stocker Jewelers. They are located on the Penn Mall in Iowa City. And we've got some more of the hashtag Kirk Ferentz 144 posters to give away today. We'll award two more of those. Two more will go into the prize for the tickets to Maryland.
Our friend Ryan from Walford on the text line, where are girls safe anymore? This happened on a damn golf course in the middle of the day. I've felt sick since I've heard the news. Thoughts and prayers go out to Celia, her family, and the Cyclone Nation.
Yeah. Yeah, brings up a great point. Where are you safe now? And this was done basically in broad daylight. Just following the timeline, and I know one of the television stations around the Des Moines area had a very, just a very chilling interview with one of the golfers that was in a group, older gentleman, probably in their late 60s, early 70s, right in there, and they were playing their round of golf and allowed her to go through, and they got to the particular hole, and they saw her bag was there and kind of a muck, and knew something was wrong, called the clubhouse. They didn't know anything about it, called 911, and I think they're having somebody do that right away helped to capture this perpetrator.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, kudos to those guys for helping out in that situation. But apparently it was just nothing they could do about it. And, man, that's Ryan's absolutely correct. Ryan is absolutely correct. 311 here on the program. Mike Petrillo, Mark Morehouse will join us. And there is golf news today to talk about. With the 2019 season that, frankly, golfers, and it wasn't for the news out of Ames, we'd be already discussing it and how just tricked up and dumb it is, but we'll save that for a little bit anyway after we talk with Mark coming up here in just a little bit. But obviously that is the big story coming out here today. We've got baseball coming up for you tonight, a couple of games. We'll join up with the Twins and the Tigers tonight at 7 o'clock. That'll be on 107.5 FM. And we'll join up on the Twins Network. And then at 8:30 tonight, we have Tuesday Night Baseball for you from ESPN. It'll be Colorado and the Dodgers, their big series in the National League West. We'll have it tonight at 8:30 and tomorrow at 8:30 as well. As we get down to the nitty-gritty as far as baseball is concerned, Mike Petrillo going to join us from MLB.com. That will be coming up here in just a little bit.
Yeah, just 10, 12 games left, depending on where you sit. Which team you are, about a dozen games left in the Major League schedule, and a few things yet to be decided, including the National Wild Card and a couple division races. We'll talk to Mike about that.
Your Bears got a victory last night as well.
Yeah, that was fun. It was a pretty good night overall with the Twins winning in Detroit and the Bears defeating Seattle, getting Matt Nagy's first victory as a head coach, and not convinced the Bears offense is any great shakes as of yet, but very happy with the defense.
Yeah, Khalil Mack, and again, you just wonder why in the world John Gruden decided that Khalil Mack was not a fit for the Oakland Raiders. I'm very happy he decided that it's not. But man, oh man, you just wonder. Mm. He's been absolutely amazing in the first couple of games this season.
That was pretty good defense without him, but he just ratchets it up that much more.
And Trubisky, I think, is getting sharper and sharper, better and better. It's going to be interesting. Going to be interesting in the NFC North this year. Really think it's going to be a lot of fun with the Packers and the Bears and the Vikings in there. I'm not so sure about the Detroit Lions at this point, but especially when they have the Patriots coming up around the corner. And the Dodgers and the Rockies are separated by a half a game going into play tonight, with the Dodgers back out on top by a half game over Colorado. Arizona falls to 5 down now to the Dodgers with the loss last night to the Cubs. Cubs stay 2.5 in front of Milwaukee, 5.5 in front of the Cardinals. And Cardinals and Milwaukee still in the top two spots as far as the wild card in the National League is concerned. We'll talk more about that. Mike Petrillo is going to join us coming up next. We'll have the Kirk Ferentz posters to give away as well. So stay with us. More to come. Gym Class being presented by Third Base Brewery here on this Tuesday. We'll be back. Talk some Major League Baseball with Mike Petrillo after this.
On Sunday, take the kids fishing. Watch the game on the couch. Don't spend it on a car lot because you think it's the only day you can look around in peace. At Brown's West Branch, you can explore their lot unbothered every day. Sundays are for family, not for dodging salespeople. It's safe to browse at Brown's West Branch, so wander the lot of Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram vehicles, along with a nice selection of used vehicles comfortably any day of the week. And just because Brown's West Branch believes in low pressure doesn't mean they don't have great deals. Right now, Brown's has a new 2018 Jeep Renegade for $19,136. That's over $6,000 off MSRP. And a new 2018 Chrysler 300S all-wheel drive for $32,998. That's over $8,800 off MSRP. Tax, doc, and registration fees extra. See dealer for details. Get to the low-pressure zone at Brown's West Branch, just off I-80 at the West Branch exit. Part of the Browns family of dealerships. See them online at 4browns.com.
Look alive, coach. Are you ready for next season? If you're thinking about coaching K-12 school-sponsored athletics in Iowa, add getting your state certification from Kirkwood Continuing Education to your game plan. Kirkwood handles the required instruction and fingerprinting. Kirkwood coaching authorization and recertification classes are going on now in Cedar Rapids and Iowa City. And now you can also take the classes online. Visit kirkwood.edu/coaching to get into the game.
Can't be at the stadium? Watch the game at Mulligan's. They've got screens everywhere, so it's all the game without any of the parking hassles, cold weather, or restrooms a mile away. Mulligan's also has touchdown dance-worthy football specials. Every Hawkeye and NFL game day, order up $3 tall boys and half-price wings all day long. Don't miss live music at Mulligan's, too. Keep an eye on their Facebook page to see who's performing next. Mulligan's Pub, 1060 Old Marion Road Northeast in Cedar Rapids.
Getting on top of the pile of moving toward a better life for you and your family starts by making better money. Working nights means your days are free, so no daycare costs. And if one of the kids needs you to take him to the doctor at 10 a.m., you don't have to take time off to do it, and you'll have excellent health insurance, too. That's what working at PMX can do for you. They're paying over $17 an hour, and they're hiring right now. Learn more at ipmx.com.
Friday at 3, tune into 106.3 FM and get ready for West High football action. Zach Mackey will be your host alongside Gary Fickle for the KGYM tailgate tour with the Iowa National Guard.
Back with you on the gym class here on KGYM on this Tuesday. I want to send out my thank yous to the East Cedar Rapids Marion Rotary Club. I had a chance to talk to those folks over lunch hour today and had a great time. They're a very good audience and asked a lot of questions. And,
it's not like calling a ball game, though, is it?
No.
Giving a speech is
no, it's not.
Quite a bit different.
It is quite a bit different out there. 319-366-1600 if you would like to weigh in on the Hurtina Stocker Jewelers text line. We're going to talk some Major League Baseball. Mike Petrillo joining us from MLB.com as we get to the final, well, we're less than 2 weeks of the baseball season, and lots of things to be taken care of, especially in a wild National League. And that will start tonight as the Dodgers and the Rockies we'll continue to go at it. We'll have the game at 8:30 tonight from ESPN Radio and tomorrow night at 8:30 from ESPN Radio as well. And Mike, how you doing? And man, is it getting interesting out in the West, isn't it?
It sure is. I'm pretty happy. We've got a fun division race. I know everybody thought there'd be no drama this season, but this has been a blast.
Well, who do you think's going to, in your opinion, who do you think you should put the money on, the Rockies or the Dodgers, or the Diamondbacks make a miraculous comeback?
No, the Diamondbacks are toast. I think that's pretty clear to me. I mean, I was going to say the Dodgers no matter what because they have the most talented team. But now I'm especially going to say the Dodgers because it sounds like Trevor Story may miss some amount of time. He hurt his elbow last night. We don't know if he'll be out or how long he'll be out, but he's a pretty big deal for Colorado. So for me, it's the Dodgers, and I think I'm pretty safe at saying that.
Which possible National League wild card team do you not want to face?
That's a great question. I mean, they've all got their strengths. I do think the Dodgers are the most talented team. You know, they have no shortage of guys they can run out. So I'm probably not wanting to face them, especially if they're going to start Clayton Kershaw in that game. There's no bad team right now. Anybody's going to be interesting.
But right now it's Brewers, Cardinals, Rockies probably fighting it out.
Probably. I mean, the Brewers have an incredibly deep lineup and a very good bullpen, even though their rotation isn't that strong. And that's probably good in a wild card game because you don't really care about a deep rotation in a single game.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they're playing the best. They've got two serious MVP candidates in Kane and Christian Yelich. So they'll probably have the home field advantage as well. And I think that they're going to be pretty well positioned in that game.
Yeah, the National League is so up for grabs and everything. We talked about the National League West, and you mentioned the NL MVP race, and that thing is just up for grabs going in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, there's about seven or eight different guys that you could make a really good case for. I think Christian Yelich is probably the hot name right now just because he's been so red hot. But 2 weeks ago, we would have been talking about Javi Baez, and 2 weeks before that, we'd have been talking about Matt Carpenter. I still think, I know he's not going to win, but I still think there's actually a case to be made for Jacob deGrom, who I believe has been the best player in the National League, and he'll get a little bit of support, but I've never seen a race this close. You're going to get six or seven guys, I think, with first-place votes. Somebody's going to win, and seven fan bases are going to think they got robbed, even though it's not possible for more than one guy to win. I do think that at the end of the day, Yelich is probably the favorite, and I think Javi Baez is right there because Carpenter slowed down a bit. But this is one of the tightest races I can remember.
Does DeGrom get your Cy Young vote?
Oh, yeah, he's going to win. And my question isn't if he's going to win, it's by how much will he win. We just did a survey here at MLB.com of many of our writers. So 33 different writers were surveyed. 30 of them picked Jacob DeGrom as their Cy Young winner. For me, it's no doubt he's going to crush that voting.
And he may not win 10 games.
Yeah, I think it's great. He has a losing record right now. He's 8-9, but I really think we've come such a long way. Everybody understands how bad the Mets have been, how great DeGrom has been. The game's one thing, it just doesn't matter anymore. And I think this is really going to be the year that blows that up. I'm personally kind of excited about that.
And this will change, if it is DeGrom, and I think it will be, I would agree with you, and this is going to change the way that the Cy Young is looked at from here on in. This is going to be a groundbreaking year.
Yeah, we said that, I think, like 5 or 6 years ago when Felix Hernandez won with a 13-12 record. And at the time, that was a big deal. And it was. We'd never had a starting pitcher win the Cy Young with as few as 13 wins. This year is something else. Now we're getting down into single-digit wins, getting into a losing record. I mean, you couldn't have comprehended that this would happen 10 years ago. And I think this is kind of the new normal. I think with the increase in the usage of bullpens, with the understanding how bad wins are at telling you if a pitcher is any good or not, I think this is not just a one-year blip. This is going to be, as you said, the new normal, and I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, the new normal. I just read on my Baseball Day calendar today that on this date back in the 80s, in the 70s, Rick Wise threw 12 innings. So you're not seeing that anymore. Everyone look up Rick Wise, by the way. He was a very good pitcher back in the day.
Oakland has made a heck of a push in the AL West. Do you think they're just going to come up a little bit short now, four games back with only a dozen to play?
I do, and that's no disrespect to Oakland. I actually wrote this morning that I think the Astros are the best team in baseball, even though I know that they will not have as many wins as Boston will. I think we saw, obviously, the Astros won the World Series last year. I still think they're the most talented team. They're my favorite to win the World Series this year. So when I say that Oakland's not going to win the division, that's more just because I don't think anybody could catch the Astros. But, you know, the A's still have a shot. I mean, they're definitely going to be in the wild card game. They have a shot to host the wild card game. And I think that would be phenomenal if you can get that game out of Yankee Stadium and into the Oakland Coliseum. And I know everybody's got a lot to say about that ballpark, and most of it's true. But when they fill that ballpark, that place is rocking. It's a real home field advantage. And as an impartial observer of those two teams, I would really like to see that. I just think that would be so exciting to see that ballpark full with the Yankees coming to town. That would be an incredible outcome for me.
What's phenomenal is Houston's road record, 52-22. That's crazy.
That is the third best road record of the last 100 years, which I only know because I wrote about this morning. And that's incredible. Minute Maid Park is very weird. It's got the short porches, obviously, and it gives up a lot of cheap home runs, but it also plays as a surprising pitcher's park, which I think is surprising to a lot of people. Not really worried about that for the Astros too much, but if they do have to face the Red Sox, they won't have the home field advantage, so maybe they'll look at that as an advantage for them.
Mike Petrillo joining us from MLB.com here on the Tuesday edition of the Gym Class and KGYM. And I did enjoy the article about Houston in Boston and your thoughts about that. Now, this wouldn't be – there's been a precedent set. The Mariners back, 20 years ago? Gosh, it's been a while. Just waylaid everybody in the regular season, did not make it to the World Series. Not to throw that out there for Boston Red Sox fans around here, but this has happened before.
Yeah, I mean, the Red Sox are a great team, so no disrespect intended. But for me, it really comes down to the pitching staff. You look at the Astros, and Verlander and Cole are both fantastic. And obviously, the Red Sox have Chris Sale, but he's been hurt, and he hasn't gone deep into a game. We don't know if he's at 100%. But really, what sets these two teams apart for me are the bullpens. The Astros have more good relievers than they know what to do with. When they come out with their playoff roster, you're going to be shocked at some of the names who couldn't make the roster. And I know everybody looked at the Roberto Osuna acquisition. For me, it was Ryan Pressly, somewhat of a lesser-known guy they got from Minnesota who's been insane. He has something like a 26-1 strikeout to walk with Houston. And for my money, he was the best acquisition any team made. You look at the Red Sox, obviously, Kimbrel is fantastic at the back of the bullpen, but I don't know who else I trust there. They're about middle of the pack in the second half in ERA, and I think like third from the bottom in walks. That is terrifying to me going into the postseason. So if those teams do face off, and obviously, you know, they've got to get to the second round to do so, I'm probably going to pick Houston because while I think the Red Sox are great, they've got Mookie Betts and JD Martinez, obviously, there's some real holes on that roster, and they're coming at a bad time.
How about the Cleveland Indians? They've had their Division I for, well, they've got it sewed up now officially, but basically for the last two and a half months anyway. And they're just kind of just sitting there, 83 wins. No one's really talking about them. They still got a lot of pitching and some very good players.
Yeah, they really do. They're incredibly top heavy. You know, if you were to take the five best players from every team, they'd be right up there because you have Lindor and Ramirez and Kluber and Carrasco and Trevor Bauer when he's healthy and Andrew Miller when he's healthy. I mean, those are some of the best players the sport has to offer. And then now Josh Donaldson, apparently that's a really, really good group. But there's so many holes everywhere else. The bullpen has been a mess. Like they traded for Brad Hand, who's been pretty good. And also Adam Simber's been kind of a disaster. Miller has been hurt like three different times this year. They still have some holes in the outfield too. So yeah, they won their division, but it's almost by default, as you said, because three of those other four teams were just not competitive whatsoever. So I don't look at that so much as an accomplishment as I do maybe an expectation, but they're still a good team and they're still going to be able to fight in a short series, especially if Miller's healthy. For me, that is the biggest key of all. Miller and Donaldson, if those two guys are healthy, that's really going to be a big difference.
Crazy save numbers for Edwin Diaz in Seattle, 56 excuse me, that's third all time. Third all time, but not enough for Seattle, right?
No, I mean, they were clearly playing over their heads in the first half of the year, and all you had to do was look at the run differential, where they were barely outscoring teams and playing historically well in one-run games, and that's great. Those wins absolutely matter, and they count, but a lot of history has shown that that's not really predictive of future success. The one thing I think they couldn't have expected is Oakland playing out of their minds. That was not really something Seattle could say much about, because that's been a big part of it, too. But I kind of think at the end of the day, this is sort of what Seattle was always going to be, you know, a good team, not a great team. I didn't expect that they would get there in this way by being so great and then kind of lousy. I thought they'd be more average the whole way through. And it's kind of disappointing for them because they've got this incredibly long postseason drought and a lot of their core isn't getting any younger. Felix Hernandez looks like he's cooked. Nelson Cruz is going to be a free agent. You know, Robinson Cano obviously got suspended this year. So it's sad because you almost feel like this is one of their last best shots, and I'm interested to see how they're going to try to reconfigure for next season and the future.
Poor Tampa Bay for being in the wrong division. They have the same record as the Cleveland Indians. They're going nowhere.
Yeah, they'd be, depending on the day, they'd be in first place or like a game out in the National League West. They are probably my favorite story of the year. I don't know how many people watched last weekend when Oakland went to Tampa Bay. These are not exactly huge fan bases here, but I watched a lot of that series, and it was so much fun. Those teams are so interesting to me. Tampa Bay is legit. You know, I know everybody likes to talk about the opener, and that's worked out really well for them. I think they've proven that as a concept, there's a lot of value to it. But Blake Snell is a traditional ace. I don't think he's going to win the Cy Young, but he's going to finish in the top three. And then you look at their lineup, and you know, they got Tommy Pham. But there's a lot of names there that people don't necessarily know. Like Malik Smith has been really, really good. G-Man Choi, that they got for Brad Miller, has been really, really good. They still have Kevin Kiermaier, and they've got a lot of young talent coming up. So it's hard for me to ever say that they're going to beat the Yankees or the Red Sox because that's just it's a tough ask. But this is a team that's really – it's for real. And I think any other division, they'd be in the playoffs right now, and they'd be the best story in baseball.
Yeah. Well, Oakland's kind of taken that over. And if Oakland makes a run, I mean, who knows how that can change baseball in the Bay Area as far as Oakland is concerned. Maybe they get out of the Coliseum. And just those possibilities make Oakland's run pretty neat story.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to seeing what they do. I think they've got a real shot in that game against the Yankees, because Oakland is actually built better for the playoffs than the regular season. They don't have much of a starting rotation to speak of whatsoever, but they have an incredibly good and deep bullpen. You're going to see like seven different pitchers in that game. And that's good for them because that's how they're built. So if they can get past the Yankees, and I think they can, they've got a shot to make some noise. I don't think this is a fluke. Obviously, it's tough to beat the Yankees in any game. So that's probably going to be my most watched game. I really can't wait to see what Oakland does.
Is there one team, Mike, that you think might really take a big jump next year?
That's an interesting question. I haven't really thought ahead to next year all that much. You know, you've got some of the rebuilding teams. What I'm interested to see are some of the teams that took a big jump this year, if they can maintain that, right? Like the Phillies were sort of a year ahead of schedule, and they played really well in the first half, and now they've fallen back. But they've got so much money, and they've got so much young talent, and they've also, I think, identified a lot of holes, right? Their lineup is inconsistent. Defense is terrible. I think if you can go out and you're the Phillies and say, we're going to get, I don't know, Manny Machado and a good reliever, and we're going to add those guys to, you know, Reese Hoskins and J.P. Crawford and you know, Jake Arrieta and the young guys that they have, I can really see them making some noise next year. Now, it depends on what they do this winter, but I think the core is in place, even though it's going to be a disappointing end of the year for Phillies fans.
Scott was hoping you'd say the White Sox, his White Sox, but with Kopech going down and –
2020.
Yeah, I like the White Sox. I actually wrote about how interesting they were a couple weeks ago, but yeah, that was before Kopech blew up, and that kind of left a sour taste in my mouth, unfortunately, because he looked so good, and it's such a disappointment he's not going to be around.
Tell me about it. All right. On that note, Mike, MLB.com. Check him out on Twitter as well, Mike_Petrillo. Mike, appreciate it, and enjoy the baseball as we get down to the crunch time here.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
All right. Mike Petrillo joining us here from MLB.com. 3:31 on the Tuesday edition of the Gym Class here on KGYM. And we're going to talk to Mark Morehouse. We're going to do that here in just a little bit. But we're going to give you an opportunity right now to, as we get ready to talk to Mr. Morehouse, to get you hooked up along with the Gazette on one of the hashtag Kirk 144 posters. He's gone over 144 now, but they're still celebrating 144. All this week, we're going to give two of those posters away, and the winners will be put into a drawing for a possibility of winning tickets to Iowa and Maryland. Homecoming game at 11 o'clock on October the 20th. These are 50-yard line, fourth row seats, folks. That's good. Fourth row, 50-yard line seats. And Mark Morehouse, we'll talk with Mark about this because he was the one to put together this fantastic list. We'll be the, 821st person to ask him about how to rank these things and how long it took and et cetera. But we're going to give you an opportunity to win those posters right now. Callers 5 and 6 at 319-366-1600. That's 319-366-1600. Kyle will get your information, and we'll come back after that and talk with Mark Morehouse of the Gazette. Right after this, you're listening to the Gym Class here on KGYM.
FMLA, FLSA, ACA.
It's harder than ever for businesses to keep up with today's evolving alphabet soup of regulations. What's a company to do? Kronos. With Kronos, you can minimize compliance risk and track HR policies, making sure they are applied consistently and fairly. HR, payroll, talent, and timekeeping in one unified system, all with a proven implementation approach and simplified, transparent pricing. Learn more at kronos.com/compliance. Kronos, workforce innovation that works.
When a player doesn't like a contract, what do?
They hold out?
They hold out for a better deal. If only you could do that with your wireless plan, right? Well, with the Keep Your Own Phone plan from Straight Talk Wireless, you can get a much better deal. Keep your phone, your number, even your same network for a lot less than you're paying now.
Without the contract.
Or the holdout.
Get the Ultimate Unlimited plan for just $55 a month on America's largest, most dependable 4G LTE networks. Straight Talk Wireless. Only at Walmart. Video typically streams at DVD quality at 60 gigabytes. We reserve the right to review your account for usage in violation of Straight Talk's terms and conditions.
Tune in to my new favorite TV show, Fansville, presented by Dr. Pepper, airing every Saturday throughout the college football season during the commercials. In Fansville, Dr. Pepper delivers a tour de force performance alongside legendary college football co-stars Brian Bosworth, Eddie George, and Les Miles. Critics are saying it's good, fantastic, and the best thing since Diet Dr. Pepper and Dr. Pepper Cherry. Get to your local Walmart today and grab some delicious ice-cold Dr. Pepper, the official drink of Fansville.
Right now at O'Reilly Auto Parts, pick up 5 quarts of Castrol Edge Full Synthetic Motor Oil for $33.99 and get a $15 O'Reilly gift card by mail. Plus, you'll earn double O'Rewards points during O'Rewards Member Appreciation Month only at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Limits apply. See store for details.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
You want to sing, Mark?
Not at the moment. No.
Okay, very good. Congratulations going out to Rick and Amanda, Jason and Anamosa. They are the winners of our Kirk Ferentz posters. And we're going to talk to Mark Morehouse from the Cedar Rapids Gazette. We'll do that coming up here in just a couple minutes as soon as Kyle gets everything situated. And hopefully Mark's back to the office. Aaron Campman, he went long today, but like I said, he had a lot of good things to say. Very deserving honoree as far as the ANF. What do you call it? You call it a Hall of Fame? You call it an award? What is the specific name for it? We'll have to find that out. But he's the honoree?
Honoree.
Just honoree this year.
America Needs Farmers honoree.
Is Aaron Campman.
Yep.
So there you go. And he had a very eloquent speech, if you will, today, that at the football offices down in Iowa City. So, Jason and Tim, oh, wait a minute. No, I beg your pardon. Back up on that. Tim and Anamosa and David and Walford. I was looking at yesterday's winners from Todd's show. I beg your pardon. Tim and Anamosa, David and Walford. Not Ryan in Walford, David in Walford. Ryan, do you know David?
Probably knows Ryan, yeah.
And vice versa. Yeah. So, I apologize. Apologize. Tim and David will go into the drawing for the tickets to see Iowa and Maryland coming up on October 20th. That is the homecoming game, and they are 50-yard line seats in the fourth row down at Kinnick Stadium in Iowa City. All right, 319-366-1600. We're going to talk about what the PGA came out with today as well. We'll do that here in just a little bit. But we welcome in. He's probably just, well, maybe he hasn't even gotten in the car yet. I don't know. Mark Morehouse joining us from the Cedar Rapids Gazette and does a fantastic job of covering the Iowa Hawkeyes. Give him a follow on Twitter and read his stuff at thegazette.com. And, of course, he came up with the terrific list of Kirk Ferentz wins in the offseason. And we just gave away a couple of those posters, Mark. So
cool.
Kudos on that. And we'll put them into the drawing for the 50-yard line tickets for the Maryland game.
Kirk Ferentz mentioned anything to you about your list, Mark?
No. The only words we ever even had on it was before I even started. I asked him about one game that's really stuck out to me, and it was weird seeing Aaron Campman today because he was a huge part of this game. Was the 2001 Indiana against Antoine Randle-El. Antoine Randle-El tortured the Hawkeyes 3 years in a row, and it was Indiana football. Indiana owned Iowa through 3 years there, and then in 2001, Iowa got 25 tackles out of Bob Sanders, and at the end, Aaron Campman, a defensive end, had chased down and caught and tackled Antoine Randle-El, and they won. I can't remember the score. It was one-score game, but that was the only game we talked about, And Cass said, that one's way high. That one's way underrated. You could tell. You could see it, that it meant a lot to him. And I remember that was post game. He kind of started to tear up in that one. It was just Indiana. I thought, wow, it really stuck out to me. Anyway, probably a longer story than you wanted.
No.
Speaking of Aaron Campman, he's the honoree this year in the for the ANF. And, boy, he was very honored. And I know he gave a really eloquent for lack of a better term, speech to the media down in Iowa City today.
Yeah, it's weird. I wonder how tariffs will affect how many Iowa football players are actually farmers, just because farming is already on a kind of a tough slide in Iowa and with so many being corporate. But you see guys like Aaron Campman, and it kind of comes home. I had no idea that he was that much of a farmer. I knew the kids were from he was from Appling and Parkersburg with all those other, you know, NFL-type guys. And I guess they all were farmers, which is really, really cool. I went up and visited Parker Hesse this fall. I assumed he was a farmer, but no, they're not. They live between two farm fields. And to me, it's a unique thing for Iowa football. It's a very cool thing, and it's kind of a brand now that kind of like Iowa's secondary logo, if you will. It's like a hockey, you know, you see a lot of gear with team secondary logos. Well, I think ANF is kind of Iowa's secondary logo, and really seems to fit.
Iowa, Wisconsin this week, another deadline breaker for you guys at 7:30 start. But what did Kirk have to say about the game or anything else today?
It's amazing, Mark, how people will go out of their way, work really, really hard to not say it's a big game. every player I talk to, every Coach Ferentz, they go out of the way. Yeah, every game is big. Well, yeah, it's true. I totally get that. That logic is infallible. Every game matters. Every game goes on your record, obviously. There's just no straighter line, Mark, for Iowa to a championship than beating Wisconsin. I mean, this year it happens to be, like in 2015, it happens to be the first block in the Big Ten pyramid of the season, and it's the biggest one. It's the foundation. It's the first step. Probably going to go back and go through the I think Brian Ferentz in April talked about the Big Ten championship going through Wisconsin. Well, today they didn't say that. They said that in April. Today it's like just another game. I don't believe that at all. I think you step 1 foot outside that building, it's the biggest game of the season, and there's no question about it.
About this game and about the Wisconsin Badgers, stopping Wisconsin is stopping the running game. Iowa's defense has been absolutely outstanding through the first three games, through the non-conference games so far. You've covered Iowa a long time, Mark. Have you seen a defense potentially that can be as good as Iowa's is this year?
In Iowa, yeah. To me, the two best defenses under Ferentz were 2004, 2009, somewhere in there, and maybe 2002. 2002, I think, is underrated, but 2004 with that defensive line of Derek Robinson, Tyler Lubke, Jonathan Babineau, and Matt Ross. They were all pretty good. And that defensive line was amazing. And that really, you know, you cannot win a Big Ten championship without a really great defense, obviously. But that defense had the added challenge of being on the field a lot because Iowa could not run the ball that year. That was the Sam Brownlee year, four running backs with torn ACLs year. So three running backs with torn ACLs, I think it was. But anyway, I think that 2004 defense for me is tough to beat. But this 2018 defense, sneaky good. And one of the guys, the linebacker play, has really kind of has impressed me. You know, it didn't go the way everyone thought it would go. And, boy, the unit has adjusted really well. Seth Wallace doing a high-level coaching. And, really, Jack Hockaday, a guy that kind of just pulled off the pile, a senior who really hadn't really done anything in his career, really stepping in and playing very, very well.
What's new on the injury front, if anything?
It doesn't sound like anything. It sounds like the three guys who were out last week are in this week. Ivory Kelly Martin, running back, wide receiver, Amir Smith-Marset, and offensive lineman Cole Banwart. I think, obviously, you need your best players in this game. And to me, you know, Ferentz, he oftentimes knocks seasons down into blocks, and usually it's quarters. This year, it kind of works out perfectly for him. The first four games, you know, three non-conference games, I would say that they probably thought they were going to get a test out of Northern Illinois, and they did, kind of. And then Iowa State, and they knew they were going to get a test. This Northern Iowa, I think they probably thought they'd win. And now the big challenge. And so I think everything, you know, this everything in camp, everything's been building up this 4 weeks. And I think it's been kind of harder for players to get to the field. They've kept it pretty tight as far as, you know, not a lot, you know, defense, there's been a lot of rotation. But I don't think on offense we've seen a ton because they want their best players playing in this first block of games. This has been a meaningful September for Iowa football, and I think to get to 4-0 would mean a lot.
Mark Morehouse joining us here at 3:44 on the Tuesday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM. You mentioned Hockaday. I was going to ask you, the person that has really surprised you the most, maybe it is Hockaday, or maybe you have somebody else in mind through the first 3 weeks.
Offensively, I'd say the offensive line is really just the entire unit has really improved. Now, I think everybody kind of knew that Tristan Wirfs would be a good player, and he is. And same with Larry Jackson, the other offensive tackle. I think they've been terrific. The inside guys have really surprised me, and I think a lot of that is Keegan Render, just kind of making sure everybody's, you know, he's a fifth-year senior, very cerebral guy, really understands some of the nuances that are going on in the line of scrimmage and blocking a 3-4 today. Talking to him was, you know, it's amazing how one step can really affect a play. And it's kind of fun hearing that and learning that. But the offensive line really has kind of been a really strong foot forward for Iowa, pass protection-wise. Now, maybe against Iowa State, the yards per carry weren't championship level. But in that game, you know, I think there was 36 carries. I can't remember the exact yardage. I want to say it was close to 200. Those are winning numbers for Iowa. When Iowa can drain the clock like that, that's what game control looks like. So offensive line. Defensively, I think the linebackers. I mean, you come into the season, you think Bomani Jones, supremely hyped guy, doing good things in the weight room, doesn't work out, and then they fix it almost right on the spot. That really impressed me. And that unit is not only did they stop the bleeding that day against Northern Illinois and then later on against Iowa State, but they've thrived and they're still growing and I think they're still getting better. And I think, well, a lot of it's that defensive line, but the way that the defense is kind of tied together, I'm really impressed. Hockaday, Cedric Lattimore, the last game came alive. Jake Gervais, I don't think is getting enough credit for what he brings. And obviously Imani Hooker, really, the safeties are really finishing and really tackling well.
In which facet of the game did Iowa make the most improvement last week against UNI?
Cut blocking. No, I'm just
don't mention that.
I did ask Ferentz again about that today, and I think I'm going to call moratorium. And I think he did today too, which is fair and fine. I think if it's a protest right now, probably stop doing that if you're Coach Ferentz, because you know 15 yards matters against Wisconsin, but I think right now they're willing to live with one or two of those a game if it means that their offensive linemen are playing hard and not being tentative and not thinking, well, what I'm about to do, is that going to be a penalty? They don't want them thinking about that. They want them playing. They want them playing hard, and they want them putting people on the ground, and that is cut blocking. So basically, I think the one thing they need to do is figure out the squaring up part of things. Keep getting their shoulder pads in front of a guy's shoulder pads and then cutting them. But beyond that, I think Ferentz is fine with this, and he's going to live with it, and he's going to coach it like this. I'm going to guess next year this rule gets heavily scrutinized, and I don't know. You know, it's a really interesting story in that, you know, old football coaches like Ferentz, old school football coaches, they want cut blocking. They want this in the game. Well, if you're a speed team, you probably don't want that. So you probably are, you know, it'll be interesting to see who has kind of the power in NCAA football. Is it the fast teams from, maybe the Big 12 or SEC, ACC, obviously. There are some teams who do that. But then you have the old man football, Ferentz, Saban, D'Antonio, to a certain extent, what Ohio State does can morph into old man football, so, or Michigan for sure. So you'll have players, you'll have coaches like that who really want to see this rule modified. They want to have blocking. Ferentz, you know which side he sits on. And I think I can kind of agree with it. The protest thing and the taking a 50-yard penalty, I think, is going to be that's a pretty risky move, I think, going forward here.
This is difficult to detect, I know, Mark, but what effect do you think the BYU loss last week at home will have on Wisconsin going into this week?
Certainly probably. I imagine it has their attention, and, you know, they're still a good football team. I think that they've lost some elements, though, on the outside, speed elements on wide receiver, which they're kind of filling back in, and it looks like A.J. Taylor's going to be a nice player for them. But to me, you have to reset, you know, and losing at home like that to a team that I don't know I imagine the BYU is a 3-touchdown underdog, if not maybe a little more. But what does it do for Wisconsin? Well, it probably gets their attention, probably gets them focusing more, and then, you know, they're probably out, you know, in their mind, probably out to save their season. I mean, if you look at Iowa and Wisconsin, I mean, whoever wins Saturday has got the best view of the Big Ten West, and it might stick for 8 weeks.
I think the biggest slap in the face last week in Madison was the fact that BYU out-physicaled. I don't know if that's a word, Mark, but – yeah. Manhandled to some extent the Wisconsin lines of scrimmage.
I want to say Wisconsin had they had high 40s, if not 50 carries last week, and they gained 200 yards. To me, Wisconsin carrying the ball 40 times and gaining 200 yards, that's a Wisconsin win 99.9% of the time. And then I looked at what BYU did on the ground. I think it was 28 carries and 191 yards. So BYU went toe-to-toe. I mean, maybe it's a little bit different. I mean, it's a read option look that attacks the perimeter compared to the power game that the Badgers play. But both were extremely effective. And so it tells me that, hey, if you're an Iowa fan, and I've heard Iowa talk enough now about Wisconsin's 3-4, I don't want to hear another word. you know how to attack that now. It's been 4 or 5 years since that's been in. If you can't attack it this year at Kinnick, then they've got you, and they're going to have you for a long, long time. So it's put up or shut up a time against this 3-4 with this offensive line.
And before we let you go, you've been covering the Hawks and the Big Ten for a long time. Have you ever seen topsy-turvy start to this league? 2 weeks ago, everyone was praising the Big Ten, that it was the greatest league of the year, and then they have their worst Saturday since 1936. Last Saturday, so it lies somewhere between there, correct?
Yeah, and I'm not a big one into saying, well, that conference sucks now after 1 week. I'm not on XM. I don't have a show. I don't make that much money, so I like to look at things a little bit more historically. And the Big Ten and the SEC are the best two conferences. The SEC looks like it's gotten over a little bit of the Alabama shock, and it's going to play some football this year. Big Ten's really figuring it out. And you know what? If Wisconsin tanks, you know, I'm not saying they are. I mean, they could very well come in and win at Kinnick decidedly on Saturday. But if they struggle, well, then the spotlight shifts to Iowa. And you guys remember how that went in 2015. You know, Iowa kept winning, and the rest of the nations started hating on Iowa because it was winning. And
yada, 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 schedule, schedule, schedule. And in the end, it didn't matter. There was a really great game in Indy that decided that. But I don't know. I think this is a tough game. I think Iowa, Wisconsin, to me, this is – it should be a revered game in the Big Ten, and it will be this week, probably because Wisconsin kind of came back to earth last week.
If it becomes KF 147, it could be an all-timer, I think. Yeah.
Well, you guys – I'll put it to you guys. You guys talk about this after you hang up on me, but really big game in Kinnick. I mean, the way the West – coming back to your question, Scott, the way the West is kind of – I don't want to say crumpled because you never know what's going to turn out to be in November, but it's kind of muted. I mean, Wisconsin losing, okay, well, what's the West now? Well, Northwestern has lost two in a row. Minnesota, redshirt freshman walk-on quarterback, I don't know about that yet. But playing well, playing better than you probably think. Nebraska, they're not there yet, and that's just the bottom line.
Great tunnel walk, though.
Whatever Purdue had last year is gone. So, yeah, Saturday at Kinnick Stadium, you win that game if you're Iowa, and you've got some big possibilities on your agenda.
Agree.
Great. Yeah, great tunnel walk, though, in Lincoln. It looks good. All right.
Beautiful.
Mark, yes. Mark, appreciate it. Keep up the great work. Thanks for taking time today. Really appreciate it.
You bet, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Mark Morehouse. Read his stuff at thegazette.com and also give him a follow on Twitter. We'll take a break, come back, and we'll talk about the PGA today and what they did after this.
Good sportsmanship matters during the game and in life. So Fairfax State Savings Bank and the Gym are proud to shine the spotlight on KGYM's community MVP.
Recognizing good sports around here and letting you know how to get in the game too.
On September 29th, the Cedar Rapids Firefighters Foundation will be hosting their 9th annual Fire Bowl at Volleys in Cedar Rapids. This 6-on-6 charity sand volleyball tournament will benefit the St. Florian Byrne Foundation. All teams are welcome, so get signed up to play today.
Details at KGYMradio.com. Click on Community MVP.
Your savings will soar even higher with Fairfax State Savings Bank. Right now, with special CD rates, your money can skyrocket by up to 3.30% annual percentage yield, or APY, for a term of 61 months. When your savings rise, it means more for your family, your future, and your peace of mind. These special CD rates are available now at Fairfax State Savings Bank. $5,000 minimum to open. Limited time offer. Get details at thebankhere.com. Member FDIC.
Our family loves shopping at Menards, and we're thrilled to update our kitchen. Choosing Riverstone quartz for our countertops was easy. There were so many color and style options. We found the perfect fit for our home. Our kitchen is the heart of our home, and quartz stands out to everything we throw at it. We are delighted with our new Riverstone quartz countertops from Menards, and we're so excited for all the meals and memories we'll be making together.
Before a lot of breweries knew the difference between a hop and a scotch, we were already creating our now classic beers. At Third Base Brewery, we've been refining our brews for over 20 years with perfection in every pour. And our all your favorites with a few surprises menu is just as tempting. That's why people always come back to gather at Third Base Brewery. After all, at Third Base, you're practically home. Stop in, Third Base Brewery, corner of Blair's Ferry Road and Sea Avenue in Cedar Rapids.
Sports and rock and roll are a great combination. KGYM and Smart FM go together like a great offense and a great defense. Like a perfectly timed slant pass and a great mix of classic rock. To get you ready for the big game, all the analysis of the week's biggest contest from UNESH and Dukes, Todd Brommelkamp with Alex Kuhn, and all the great smart rock from Smart FM for your tailgate. It's a great combination, KGYM and Smart FM.
Tune in to KGYM Fridays during the gym class for the announcement of our Athlete of the Week. Proudly brought to you by Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 of Eastern and Central Iowa.
.356 back with you. Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn coming your way next. Baseball coming up tonight for you to enjoy here on KGYM. Mark, we got to get this in. Talking about the PGA Tour. when is a tournament won when it's not won, Mark? Apparently next year in 2019 at the FedEx Cup, finale at the Tour Championship in Atlanta.
This is folly. It really is.
It's pure folly. Pure folly. Here's what's going to happen. NASCAR has nothing on the PGA Tour, or the PGA Tour has nothing on NASCAR.
Not anymore.
Because NASCAR starts their playoff drive, which I think is dumb too, with awarding points for based how you did in the regular season. Now, I understand that a little bit more than I understand what the PGA Tour is doing. The PGA Tour next year is going to go down from 4 to 3 as far as the FedEx Cup playoffs are going to be concerned. And since they've had so many times in the past different winners of the FedEx Cup, Mark, and the Tour Championship in Atlanta, they're going to make sure this never happens again with the new way they're going to do the playoffs. They're also going to increase the amount of playoff money to $60 million pool in the FedEx Cup, $15 million, basically winner-take-all for the champion. So going to the first tee next year at Eastlake in 2019 for the Tour Championship, if you are Bryson DeChambeau and you are number one going into the tournament, you start off before you hit a shot at minus 10.
10 under par. Without hitting a shot.
No. If you're second, you're minus 8. Third place, minus 7. Fourth place, minus 6. Fifth place, minus 5. If you are 26 through 30, you start at even. So you, the winner, more than likely, the person that has the lowest score in this tournament is not going to win. And that makes zero sense to me. I know what they're trying to do. They're trying to get excitement. They're trying to make it a winner-take-all situation. But this is just the dumbest idea I've heard since NASCAR going to the playoffs. And or NASCAR going to stages.
So in other words, if DeChambeau shoots 1 under for his 4 rounds, he finishes at 11 under.
Yes.
And somebody...
No, he'd finish at 14 under if he shot 1 under for each round.
No. For all 4 rounds, 1 under aggregate. He finishes at 11 under. That means somebody that shoots 10 under par for those 4 rounds...
Doesn't beat him.
Finishes second.
Yes.
Stupid.
People are just going crazy about that. All right, so stay tuned. Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. That is coming your way next right here on KGYM. More from the Kirk Ferentz News Conference. I'm sure more from Ames in reaction to the terrible tragedy befalling the Iowa State women's golf team and their golfer over there. So stay tuned for that. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 3.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM. KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.